Fellow Freedom fans, this is David Allen Carmichael for the Faith and Freedom Show here on the Eagle 104.3 FM. We're back. We're back for this exciting. You're going to hear things from a little bit different perspective than you're going to hear on most talk radio shows. I have a reference. We had a big debate. We had somebody call the other day, and he was basically explaining to me and everybody on the air what I've been explaining to everybody about what we do while we've been on the air. And really, we're going to have a reference. We want to be as objective as possible as far as it relating to a reference. And that's our goal here, is that when you listen to this Liberty Works Radio Network, that some of the broadcasters are going to have a little bit different twist, a little different perspective on an issue of the day, depending on their particular passions. But ultimately, we all ought to be held accountable to the Constitution. And there's sometimes, as we read the Constitution, we have it wrong. It's possible. But you know what we're committed to doing? Getting it right. There's some things, this kind of stuff I read. Watch what I read. I have a textbook on constitutional law that I read for entertainment. I mean, that's, you know, when you go to bed, some people, they go to bed at night and they can't sleep right away. They got to have something that kind of winds them down. Some people read fiction. Some people read Louis L'Amour, Louis the Love. I don't do that. I don't read fiction for my wind down. It really, to me, it's frustrating. It's a waste of time. So what I do is I read things that are edifying and I can use later. It's like I'm not wasting my time. It'll make up for time lost elsewhere. So I read a constitutional law textbook. Very, very good. It's written by five different guys and really well done. I'm quite impressed by it. And what I do is I learn things about the Constitution. I learn things about American law. I learn things about acts or things that the Supreme Court has done and perspectives they've had. And it really helps me keep things in order. So that's what I do with my time. That's the kind of stuff that I read. I have in my office, and if you go online to my website, faithfreedoms.org, and you watch a live video stream, and usually we have a live video stream. There's a couple of times when there's been some technical glitches and we had to shut it down because it was interfering with other equipment and things we were trying to do. So, but most times you've got a video stream that you can watch, and you'll see behind me American jurisprudence. You're going to see shelves. And behind my desk chair, my swivel chair, I've got at arm's reach American jurisprudence, which is a law encyclopedia. I can look things up by topic in alphabetical order and read about law and how it applies to the things of our situation. And I have told people in the past that as I first started reading American jurisprudence, I bought all these volumes of it at a Navy auction. They were decommissioning a support ship and it happened to have a law library on it. So I bought these books at auction. I started reading them like they were a novel. And what I found was that because I had already read the Bible, I could pretty much tell you what the law is on a certain subject. And so if I know right from wrong, I don't have to read the law. Actually, the tough part is with these statutes that come out, it's sad that you have to read a statute to find out what law is. Now, that just shows you that statutes can run awry sometimes. Sometimes you've got people in the legislature doing just wicked things, and maybe they don't even know it. But when you have to have, if you go to commentaries on law that come from what courts have done, you get a evidence of what right and wrong is. You actually see a trail. You can connect the dots of right and wrong, because for years upon years upon years upon years, what courts have been doing is just applying what somebody already figured out was right. And so right still shows up in American jurisprudence, but it's starting to change as we become depraved. Because what happens is you have a bunch of ill-educated men and women who happen to be now judges. And they weren't taught right and wrong. They weren't taught a biblical worldview. They don't necessarily understand what the founders' perspective was. And so what they'll do is they will take what is right and wrong, and they'll see it in a law book, and they see something that is wrong, and they will cite something that is wrong, ignoring those things that are right, in order to, as they think, they are basically swinging policy. as if law was not fixed and invariable, as if there were not an absolute right and an absolute wrong. And that's what we see today, but it's still evidenced in American jurisprudence. There's still evidence of right. And when you see things that make sense, if you've read the Bible and you know you have a Christian biblical worldview, you can figure out and know what is right. And you should be able to forecast what American jurisprudence is going to say on a particular subject, because you can forecast it. Now, that's what I found to be true. And I will tell you what's neat about it is they kind of have a reference after reference or after reference. They repeat things over and over again. So sometimes when you see something that looks a little bit askew, well, keep reading. And what they'll do, they'll end up citing more cases, and it'll get right back. It'll keep things pretty much on track with old school biblical or Christian biblical worldview approach to things. Again, I say it's changing, but that's because we're going from order to chaos. We're having more and more of a depraved society. But I'll tell you, think about it. Many people will look back and they'll see things and you'll go, hey, that is just plain unjust. There's something wrong with that. And fortunately, some of those things have been fixed. And now there's also times when the pendulum swings to something that is an injustice, where certainly you may give somebody some civil liberty that they would not normally have, because what the activity they're going to perform is actually wrong. It's just naturally wrong. So sometimes you see the pendulum swing back and forth a little bit, like the Dred Scott case. And I've actually read the case. I've read commentary about the case and a little bit history of Mr. Dred Scott and the circumstances surrounding his wanting to file or make a claim that he should have protection under the law of freedom. And when you look at the case and you look at the Chief Justice Taney's opinion, you realize that guy's warped. That guy is evil. He didn't understand justice. He was ignoring some obvious things in law that would have rendered certain protections. But because he had a bone to pick, he had a political agenda, he made and he pick and chose those things that he'd used to justify his ill tendency, his unjust decision. And so most people with natural reason can see that Chief Justice Taney was wicked. He had an agenda and it was wicked. So that's my opinion. You might have a different opinion, but you're going to have to call me and talk about it. And you better back it up. You got to make sure you go ahead and pull out your U.S. Constitution, your Supreme Court cases, if you want to. You want to bring out your Constitution of the various states that applied and things like that. You want to pull out American jurisprudence. Well, that's fine. Just make sure you've got a reference, because I'm going to take things back to a constitutional basis, a biblical basis, and the basis of right versus wrong. That's what we do here. I'm David Allen Carmichael on Eagle 104.3 FM for the Liberty Works Radio Network. The number here is 888-850-1872. Kind of doing a monologue. Hey, I got to tell you something. This occurred to me. There's a lot of weird things that occurred to me. I say things that are provocative. This is talk radio. We're supposed to provoke your brains a little bit. So go ahead. I'm going to give you a pause here. Just breathe in. Oh, yes. Okay, good. We got a lot of oxygen in our brain now, because that's what I do, is I make you start to pump CO2 out into the atmosphere because you're burning calories, and it's all with your brain. You won't even have to run around the block to burn calories. You do it sitting there right in your car as you're listening to this show. Something has occurred to me, and it has occurred to other people. I am a fan of the Grand Canyon. I love the Grand Canyon. It's got 8,000 feet of flood debris. It's beautiful. It's wonderful. You have all these great little nautiloids in what was supposed to be a desert. Okay, a lot of nautiloid fossils in sandstone that was supposed to be a desert. It's not. It's flood debris. But one of the things you could look at, the Grand Canyon, how come the Grand Canyon, all those 8,000 feet of what I say is flood debris, but you have a different opinion, you think I'm a numbskull because I think that, so you say, oh, that's eons of time. How come those eons of time don't have canyons running through them like the Grand Canyon? How come? How come every layer of those eons of time are nice and flat and as if they were laid down like they were mud and don't have eons of time worth of erosion, you know, hundreds to thousands of feet deep through each section. How come we're the only guys? How come we're the only eons of time that have a Grand Canyon and all these other just erosion features and things like that? How come? How come the strata of dirt, you know, the rock formations, the sedimentary rock and the things below it, how come? How come for eons and times, billions of years, they must not have had any wind, any rain, any cataclysm, strange fault lines like San Andreas? How come? So, you know, that's things that people don't think about. You know that these limestone formations go from here to Europe? Of course, the continents split after the stuff was laid down. But how come from here to all the way to China, you got all these layers of strata that are literally have no evidence that they were around on Earth because there's no erosion? There's no, you know, just think about it. The erosion that you see today breaks through these layers. How come for billions of years, none of those layers had breaking through happening on their watch? That'll mess with your head, you subject matter experts. So that's the kind of provocative stuff I like to say on this Faith and Freedom show. I'll tell you a story. I like to tell stories. I was in the Navy and I took a tour of Rome. Our tour guide was a tour. By the way, tours, you can make good money on being a tour guide. I know you can make good money at being an instructor. I was an instructor by contract. And there's times, depending on what the course is that people need to learn about, you can name your price. So in some cases, tour guides can do the same thing, get a certain number of heads on a bus, and you make some pretty good money. Well, this guy, he was their tour guide. His master's degree level, whatever he was a geologist, archaeologist, but for fun, he was a volcanologist. He liked to study volcanoes. And to fund his habit at the time, he was living in Napoli, and he was being a tour guide to Rome. So it was kind of very well-educated guy. It was a very interesting tour. But on the way back to Naples from Rome, I asked the guy who was sitting next to him. I found out he was a geologist. So I started asking him questions. Hey, how come when I went to Ephesus 2,000 years ago, Ephesus was a seaport town? Now the sea is several miles away, and Ephesus was right on the foot of a hill. How come 2,000 years ago that Ephesus was on the water and at the foot of hills? Where was all the erosion before that? How come the sea 2,000 years ago wasn't several miles away from those hills? But now it is. What's the erosion rate here in the Aegean Sea and places like that? And, you know, I started asking him questions like that. You know what? We started having a good conversation. And after some how comes this guy who's a subject matter expert in geology was going, you know, you've got a good question there. That actually is something that needs to be looked at. It's something that can be measured. I appreciate you telling me that. But he was mocking me at first, and he was mocking me. So, your Bible's so stupid, that whole timeline of the Bible. So I might just come back and talk to you about this, but what I'm going to do is I'm going to say things that will provoke you to thought, just like I did the geologist. And that's what we're going to do here on the Faith and Freedom Show, is I'm going to provoke you to thought. Yes, I have a religious perspective, but at least I'll admit it. Okay, I'm a Christian extremist. I love God. I love my neighbor as myself. But hey, stay tuned in to the Eagle 104.3 FM, because we are here for you. That's why we're doing this lunatic stuff. So keep tuning in. Check out my website, faithfreedoms.org. We'll be back.